Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails. We have a shitload of voicemails to get to, so hit us up with those new ones, 331-979-1369. I'm sure you guys have a reaction to the Lakers game last night, as well as anything else you want to talk about in the first eight games. Again, 331-979-1369, or drop a question on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Want to first mention, before we get into any of these voicemails, that today's episode is brought to you by Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering the promo code Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off, $399 or more. Indochino.com, promo code Locked On. Matt, back here, middle of the week. Good to be back with you again, and excited to get into these voicemails because we have a whole hell of a lot of them.
Plenty of voicemails to get to. Jordan, what's going on? What's up, Bulls Nation? Appreciate everybody flooding our inbox. It's gotten a little overwhelming as our show has grown in notoriety, which is, of course, nothing to complain about. But I think as you and I are discovering over the last couple of months with a new season underway, you know, some people check out during the off season, but now It's getting harder and harder to keep up with our mailbag.
You know, it's just like scrolling through some of the texts that we've gotten over the past couple of days, especially the losses. Those particularly, I think the only reasons that I smile after losses is just some of the things people get frustrated at. One of them, too, comes from a texter, and it was just like, guys, absolutely love your show, listen to it every day, but I'm out. I can't watch this team anymore. I can't pay attention to this team anymore. I'll check back in at the All-Star break. Have a good show. Oh, and then he said, P.S., I'll continue to subscribe and download your episodes, but unfortunately will not be paying any attention to any Bulls game all season long. So little of those things like that makes me smile.
7 games in and already throwing in the towel. You know,
yeah, less than 10. We just got past Halloween and people are already out. So that kind of tells you where the Bulls fan base stands at this point.
Hard to blame them. Hard to blame them.
That's for sure. All right, let's just jump right into it. Let's get to our first voicemail. This one comes from the 205.
What's up, guys? Everybody's talking about the consensus in Chicago. We can't get no big-time free agent. But nobody's talking about the all-star talent type of free agent we signed this offseason. I'm not talking about Thaddeus Young. I'm talking about Chris Fleming. Think about these guys chose to come to Chicago, a team that won 20-some games over Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Man, I think that was the biggest sign we made this offseason. And I think, man, he's going to have an offense playing real good. But think about this, man. I told y'all about Kobe White. I'm not talking about just his offense outburst he had last night. I'm talking about to check out his defense. His defense and his work ethic. I think this guy's going to be an all-star one day. But I love you guys.
Thanks for the call from the 205. So Thad Young and Chris Fleming, let's start there real quick, Matt, because I think those were the two signings that were kind of went under the radar. And it's interesting that he brings up Chris Fleming as well. You know, as much as we talked about yesterday about the offense and the struggles that they've had, I think that's more coming on the players than it is the overall scheme of what Chris Fleming's trying to do. As well as I think it's going to take some time. You know, this is going to be the first year that Chris Fleming's going to have the opportunity to kind of change and do what he wants. So I think as far as what we see is, as far as change goes, it might take a little bit longer to really see that fully develop. And again, you too, you have Jim Boylan coaching, so it's a whole hell of a lot different than Kenny Atkinson last year for Chris Fleming. So it's going to be a bit of a change for him as well. And it didn't all happen overnight too with the Nets. So I agree. I think the Chris Fleming signing this summer was really good for that coaching staff. And then Thad Young too. We talked about this yesterday, but Thaddeus Young has been an absolute bright spot on this Bulls team this year, and the part of the reason why the Bulls even have two wins this year. So good signings, and Coby White too. I think I have to agree with him. You know, if he develops on the track that we think he is, I think he could borderline as an all-star, and that could be maybe his ceiling. But right now, very, very, very early to tell.
Yeah, look, you know, I don't really have much to add on Thad Young and Chris Fleming. I'm glad both of them are here. I am still, you know, waiting, and it's only been 8 games for Fleming's impact to be, you know, noticeable on the court. And some of it is just guys aren't making open shots, and you know, we'll hope to see continued progression there. But of course, just, you know, Thad has been exactly the guy, you know, as advertised, and he has been a very solid addition to this team. With Coby, I mean, like, does he have all-star potential? Maybe. I think it's way too soon to tell. Certainly has flashed the same athleticism and speed and scoring ability that he showed at UNC. But we have also seen his shooting fall off a cliff after that great game against Memphis. So I also wouldn't disagree with our caller that at least as far as effort is concerned, I'm pleasantly surprised with what I've seen from Coby on the defensive end. He and Chris Dunn have actually paired decently in that second unit to kind of set a tempo for the defense, and Coby White's been very aggressive and very disruptive. You know, still has some mechanical things to work on, but has been better than I expected, better than advertised, I think, on the defensive end. But, I mean, to say that he's a future all-star right now confidently, I think for me is a stretch.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Jordan. This is Jim from the 815. I just stumbled upon a YouTube comment the other night that I thought was pretty eye-opening. It kind of made me think. So it said, everybody knows how good Lauri Markkanen is besides Lauri Markkanen. And it kind of made me think, is maybe Lowry's problem right now that he doesn't have enough confidence in himself, or that he's just trying to navigate his way into the offense? Because it is extremely frustrating seeing someone so talented with such a high ceiling not play up to the level that he can. I also want to get your thoughts on what Jim Boylan's ceiling could be as a head coach in the NBA. I've seen a lot of good with him this year compared to last year. So in my own opinion, I think he can be, you know, at least middle of the road, if not maybe top 10, you know, a top 10 coach in the NBA. I really like what I'm seeing from him, and especially with Chris Fleming and Roy Rogers on the side. And, yeah, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were with Jim Boylan. I see a real bright future. But if it does go south, I also want to get your thoughts on how you think Chris Fleming would do as the Bulls' next head coach, possibly. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Love the show. Have a good one.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. Let's touch on the marketing stuff before we get into Boylan really fast. I think this is spot on, man. I think that's the perfect way to sum it up is everybody knows how good Lowry is and how good he can be, except for him at times. At times, it seems like the confidence level in Lowry is at an all-time low, and I think we're seeing that right now. And I can't imagine that Lowry's confidence is too high with getting sat 2 games in crucial situations in the fourth quarter. Helps his confidence at all. But again, it's the same thing that we saw his rookie year. It's like he's not asserting himself on offense at times. And when he does, good things happen. But it seems like it's almost like he's feels pressure to need to score the ball, and at times it causes him to have tunnel vision. Like, there's a play specifically against Detroit where instead of Lowry kicking it out to a wide open three in the corner, he drove to the basket and took like a weird fadeaway shot just outside the paint with like three defenders in his face. Like, normally with confidence, he kicks that ball out and knocks down the wide open three. So I don't know if it's pressing and forcing shots just because the offense hasn't been there to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I'm getting so tired of this. Does Lowry, you know, struggle because he's not aggressive enough, or is it the coach's fault for not getting him looks, or is it his teammates' fault for not getting him looks? And I'm starting to worry that, you know, for whatever reason, Lowry's ceiling is not as high as we hoped and wanted it to be. I don't expect him to shoot 25% from downtown for the entirety of this season, which is what he's shooting so far. But after that outburst and that dominant performance against Charlotte, we have just seen a shadow of that player. I mean, like, their last five games, 11, 14, 16, 18, 9. Like, and he's not getting that many shots. I don't know what Lowry has to do. And again, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, maybe there is a little bit of a sore back issue that he's still battling with and playing through, and maybe that has to do with his lack of aggression and his poor shooting right now. I hope that maybe that's an answer and it's something that'll go away, but that doesn't make me feel all that confident either. I just, you know, I don't know what has to change with Lowry. But if you're Jim Boylan on Sunday against the Pacers and you don't let Lowry go attack Justin Holiday, who's playing the four, then there are multiple guilty parties, including Markkanen, for not going up to his coach and saying, "Hey, coach, wake the fuck up. Let me go back out there and destroy that guy in the post."
I think you're right. You're spot on, too. And I think also, too, it's, you know, watching Lowry, and when he gets the ball, he doesn't get it that often either, but that's part on his teammates for not looking for him. That's part on Lowry for not saying, "Yo, what the hell are we doing here, guys? I'm standing here wide open at the three." And also, too, I see a lot of non-movement from Lowry, too. It's like he stands around a lot and doesn't move on offense when he doesn't have the ball. And I don't know if that's part that's something he's going to have to continuously learn throughout his career, is how to get open and move off the ball. But if you're not going to dominate in the paint on offense and the three-point shot isn't falling like you'd like it to be, you got to find another way to get open, got to find another way to build confidence on the offensive side. So I don't know what it is, but I'm agreeing with you in the fact that I think I'm growing kind of tired of the excuses, and more I just want you to shut up and figure it out and do a little bit less talking, a little bit less excuse making, a little bit more of show me what you got. And if that's the best you have, then that's the best you have. But I'm getting very, very tired of excuses. But let's get to Boylan point for a minute. Again, I want to preface this for our listeners out there. This call was dropped almost 2 weeks ago. So we're only like at the second or third game of the season. So don't completely kill Jim on his point about Boylan. But man, I don't see top 10 coach ceiling at all. I don't even see middle of the road at this point. You know, there hasn't been much change and much improvement from what we saw last year in Jim Boylan to this year in Jim Boylan. Still calling weird ass, stupid timeouts, still have dumb rotations. I don't know. I don't see him as a top level head coach. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, yeah, save the embarrassment, as you said, of this caller who left this after, I think, between preseason and the regular season starting. So, you know, this one got lost in the shuffle somewhere. Because clearly, we have seen countless examples recently of Jim Boylan not knowing anything about coaching. He doesn't know how to use timeouts. He can't save them. And he also doesn't use them when he needs to use them. He won a coach's challenge only to let Chris Dunn take a jump ball against Larry Nance Jr.
Hell yeah.
Let's see. His rotations don't make any sense. He complains and whines about physicality and toughness and getting destroyed on the boards and continues to, you know, trot out a three-point guard lineup. Like, you can go on and on. This dude doesn't know how to coach. What's his coaching ceiling? I don't know. The crawl space. The cobweb-filled, spider-filled crawl space where you put your family's keepsakes and then forget about them, and then they get all dusty and covered in crap, and then when you sell the house and have to move out and empty out the crawl space, you're like, oh hey, I forgot about all this crap in the crawl space. That's Jim Boylan's coaching ceiling.
I totally forgot about the jump ball with Chris Dunn. This is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, honestly, how the hell do you explain that? How do you explain that? You can't.
He said, oh, well, Chris wanted to take the jump ball. We got confidence in our guys. It's like, no, that has nothing to do with confidence in your guy. This is a dumbass move.
No, you're just not paying attention to the math, Jordan. If you have grit and toughness and you're 6'3", then you actually are like 7 feet. So he should have won the tip against like 6'10" Larry Nance. That, like, you're just doing the math wrong.
And if you got a soul and a spirit too, that also adds to your leaping ability. So I don't know. I don't know. But you know, as I said, and I know this is a little bit different situation than what Fred Hoiberg dealt with last year, and we saw a lot more of Fred Hoiberg than we have of Jim Boylan as a head coach. But again, if this team, it's December 1st, and this team is at 6 or 7 wins, we should be just as angry as we were last year. We should be just as angry, if not more, because this team is fully healthy to most extent, right? With the nagging little injuries to Otto and to Chandler Hutchison missing some time and Denzel Valentine not playing. Okay, I get that. But still, way healthier than they were last year. And at least Fred Hoiberg had a built-in excuse to why this team was playing like shit, is because you had Zach LaVine and a bunch of G Leaguers playing throughout the month of November. But what's Jim Boylan's excuse going to be December 1st if they show up and they're 6-14? What's the excuse then?
And so far, his excuse is passing the buck and blaming his players. I mean, when there was media availability at practice on Monday, he said, I think they being the players, need to take more responsibility for their preparedness. I think they need to take more ownership of their readiness to play. The head coaches in this league have never been expected to coach effort. Effort has to come from each guy. That is a guy getting out coached, passing the buck, and blaming his players. Gee, I wonder where Jim Boylan gets that from. Maybe his bosses, who are also really good at passing the buck when their team is getting embarrassed.
Yeah, the bus tossing is an interesting strategy from Boylan early on in this season. You're not going to win your players over too well by doing that, that's for sure. And I don't know if this is Jim Boylan trying to spark his team, but I mean, when he tried to do this last year, it ended in a damn near mutiny. So I don't think he's learned anything from that.
That leadership committee is calling a players only meeting any day now, man. Any day now.
Does anybody know what the leadership committee looks like right now? Can we?
Yeah, so Thad and Otto were named captains, and then according to his interview with Zach Lowe on the Low Post podcast, Zach LaVine said that he and Lowry are the other members to round out the leadership committee with the captains Thad and Otto.
So they've reduced one spot on the leadership committee, and still, the one dude that I think can be a true leader for a long time on this team has not been included now twice, and that's Wendell Carter Jr. So
he's 20 years old, and he sounds like the most mature person in that locker room who actually has a clue what the hell's going on and what they need to do better.
It's bizarre, man. It's bizarre. But to back to Jim's voicemail real quick, top 10, no way, man. No shot. But appreciate you dropping us the voicemail. I thought the marketing comment was very interesting. Let's
he could finish top 10 in a hot dog eating contest, probably. I mean, I'm just a random guess. Trying to think of other top 10 things Boylan could do.
Oh my God. Before we get to our next voicemail, you know, this is my absolute favorite time of the year. Well, kind of was. I love fall, even here in Chicago, even though we only get a week of it. It goes from 75 to 80 degrees straight to snow, so that was enjoyable last week. Sweater weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right. For some, it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. NBA and NCAA basketball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel part of the action than have a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. Matt, I was describing this to our listeners over the weekend, that the Bulls are 50,000-1 to win the NBA championship. The only teams with worse odds than the Bulls right now are the Hornets, Kings, Grizzlies, Knicks, and Cavs. All of those teams have significant worse odds.
Including those three teams that the Bulls have already lost to this season? Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome.
They're tied with the Washington Wizards at 50,000-1 to win the NBA championship. The Bulls are 20,000-1 to win the Eastern Conference and 5,000-1 to win the Central Division. I bring this up because if you want to put a little money on the team, maybe you want to throw $10 on it or something, and think that this team can turn it around, even though it's only been 8 games, go ahead and do that. Head to mybookie.ag. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right, they will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. MyBookie.ag. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at MyBookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. MyBookie.ag, promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your first deposit today. Next voicemail.
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Matt? This is DT. Just calling because very frustrated, especially after this latest loss to the Cavs. I mean, so one of my biggest concerns coming into the season was that is Zach and Laurie, to me, this whole rebuild is really built around Zach and Laurie becoming those franchise players. I know the other guys are important. Wendell is important. Otto is important. But ultimately, a lot of this rests on those two guys taking the step forward and becoming stars and being, you know, frankly, superstars. And so far, it's just watching this is super frustrating. More so, Lowry. I mean, I hate to invoke the name, but he reminds me of Andrea Bargnani right now, which is thoroughly unacceptable because he's much better than that. And I don't understand if that's a scheme thing. I don't understand if that's on him. But there's really no excuse for it. I mean, he had an entire offseason to rest and everything. And it's just, you know, against these teams, I watch him and he's just out there floating around on the perimeter. And that's why I say Andrea Bargnani is what he's reminding me of right now. And that extends to his defense and his rebounding as well. Like, I don't see him going out there like he did last February and attacking the basket and taking it to the hole and showing his strength on the glass outside of the first game of the year. And, you know, that to me is very frustrating. And if that's what we're going to come to see with him, or if that's what our expectations are going to be with him, that, you know, he puts up, you know, decent numbers on a nightly basis, but then, you know, every once in a while teases us with a monster game, then I don't know where that leaves us. And then same thing with Zach. I mean, again, I don't know how you go from what you did in the preseason, where in the preseason I felt like he was doing a lot of what I wanted to see, which is a good mixture of attacking the basket, hitting, you know, hitting the threes, and just like really blending that balance together. And now it's like in the regular season has started and he just completely has stopped doing that. Like, he's taking defensive threes. He isn't really attacking the basket as hard as he should. And I do think to a certain degree he does need to build in some mid-range shots in there as well as necessary, because he is a good mid-range shooter. But to me, everything stems on how those two develop into stars. And if they're not going to, and if this is indicative of where they're going to go, then it kind of honestly leaves the franchise at a loss, because I don't know where you kind of take it from here.
I think this is an important topic, and I think this is going to be one that is going to be talked about a lot this season, is Lowry and Zach and how this team is built. It really is. I think our caller is spot on here. Is it's built around those two guys. Without the success of those two guys, this rebuild is pretty much nothing, right? For Lowry, I don't know why it is that it takes so long to build up confidence. At some point this season, we're going to see him pop off again, like he did in the first game, and like our caller had mentioned in February. But it shouldn't take a month. It shouldn't take 2 months. It shouldn't take 3 months into the season for us to finally see that, especially in the third year, man. Like, it still kind of feels like the first year of the way that Markkanen played, and it doesn't bode a lot of confidence for me, at least. And I don't know if it's because his, again, it goes back to him not calling and being aggressive for the ball, or if it goes back to that the Bulls at times are not distributing the ball as good as they should. So I don't know, but I'm kind of concerned that the confidence level in him isn't there. And that's kind of what, similar to what one of our callers previously had said too. So I don't know what it is up with him, but again, and then to Zach LaVine's point really quick, and this could partially be because of Markkanen, is the fact that like he feels like he needs to do everything when he's got the ball in his hands. Like, what happened to Zach LaVine wanting to be a distributor? You know, like, what happened to looking for guys at the open shot? And, you know, I'll give him some credit. He does look for those guys, and the Bulls haven't knocked down those shots. A la Otto Porter has been open for a lot of shots. Cornette, Thaddeus Young at times. All these guys are knocking down shots consistently, so that might drop his numbers a little bit. But at a lot of times, especially crucial parts of the game, Zach LaVine's not looking for the open shooter. He's looking to score it.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, I think if you look right now, LaVine's averaging fewer assists so far through this season than he did last season. And I don't think many people would have expected that. But as you pointed out, it could just be because his teammates are not shooting the ball very well right now, and maybe that'll go up a bit. But I think the caller makes a good point in that I have concern about this duo being the two cornerstones of a new rebuild and the franchise trying to, you know, make its way back to relevance, because right now they both look to be players who have significant flaws, neither of whom are good enough to be a 1A player on a real good team. Zach LaVine looks like more a 1B or 1C option, and you can say the exact same thing about Lauri Markkanen. They've each shown, you know, in one game or maybe two, that they have what it takes to be a dominant force on a winning team. So far through this season, they showed us spurts last season at times where they both looked really good for longer stretches than anything we've seen so far, but still small compared to the entirety of a full 82-game season. And this, to me, is still the real icky part when you think about Zach and Lowry and whether or not a rebuild with them at the forefront can work. They don't appear to play all that well together, or at least all that effectively. And, you know, in Zach LaVine's small stint returning from the ACL, you said it's a small sample size. It was only like 11 or 12 games that they played together in the first year of the rebuild. And then similarly last year, between Lowry missing the beginning of the season and then the Bulls just shutting people down and basically tanking away, he didn't want to put too much weight into those numbers. But again, their numbers on the court together did not look great. So far this season, averaging 22.9 minutes together on the floor per game, their offensive rating together is 104.7. Their defensive rating together is 114.7. That is a net rating of negative 9.9 for Zach and Lowry when they share the floor together. And you have seen already Jim Boylan start to stagger them a little bit and, you know, let Lowry and or Zach play minutes with the second unit and see if they can flourish, maybe playing not alongside one another, but being a go-to guy in lineups that do not include both of them. We'll see if that actually works over the course of a season, if that's what Boylan sticks with, but it is alarming and troubling, in my opinion, that apparently right now they don't appear to have all that much chemistry, and the Bulls as a team don't look all that great when they're on the floor together.
Yeah, and the thing that worries me the most, too, is if Lowry and Zach can't play together, and clearly Zach is going to start no matter what, you can't afford to bring Lowry off the bench, having play with the second unit, especially the way he's going right now. So if you haven't played with that second unit, who the hell is going to rebound? You know, we've already seen that too, right? When Jeff Boylan has split up some of these lineups and then you see Markkanen and Cornette playing together, well, or it's Markkanen and Thaddeus Young playing together, nobody's grabbing any rebounds at all. And so then that's a huge issue as well.
Best case scenario is he pairs him with Thad. You know, as the roster stands right now, and Thad, you know, can mask some of Lowry's defensive, you know, weaknesses. Because for a while, when he was playing Wendell and Thad together in that second unit, you're like, all right, well, this makes no sense because you have all of your defensive strength and rim protection in this second unit with your three guards. And then, you know, LaVine and Lowry and Cornette are getting absolutely cooked in that other lineup when Boylan starts to stagger things. So I'd much rather see Lowry paired with Thad than Lowry paired with Cornette if he's going to stagger.
And I know this isn't Lowry's personality at all. He's more of a, you know, more reserved but funny at times. There'd be once where I'd like to see Markkanen go into the game, and again, I bring this up a lot, but there's 3-4 minute stretches where Markkanen doesn't even touch the ball, isn't involved in the offense at all. There'd be one time, especially early on, either he gets in the face of Jim Boylan or his teammates and says, like, what the hell are we doing? Get me the ball. Get me the ball. And I don't know if that comes with, he just doesn't have that sense of aggression that I think other players in the past that we've seen play his position have, or if it's just not his personality type to do that. But, you know, it'd be nice to see him one or two possessions where a guy is standing at the top of the key dribbling and clearly doing nothing with the ball. Markkanen's down in the post, and he just stands there and claps his hands as loud as he can and waving to try to call for the ball. And if somebody doesn't hit him at a timeout or something, we see Lowry go and get in his face. Like, get me the damn ball and let me score it. I want to see some type of confidence, some type of, you know what, fuck this, I'm going to go out there and score. Instead of the passive, well, okay, I guess it's Zach's turn to shoot, and let me just hang out in the corner and let me just, you know, monitor the three-point line, like our caller said. Like, I'm growing very, very tired of seeing that. So, and maybe this is just who Lowry is, and that's what we have to accept, but I'd like to see a little bit more fire out of him than we have so far.
Yeah, and if the you know, the nightmare worry, like our caller was saying, you know, maybe Lowry isn't, you know, scoring at all three levels, caliber, all NBA potential kind of player, and he's actually just like a different version of Andrea Bargnani, or like, you know, our producer over at Outsiders, Bulldog, I think was tweeting about it the other day. He's like, my biggest fear in the world is that Lowry Markkanen is just like another version of Danilo Gallinari. So, you know, Bargnani, Gallinari, take your pick. Either way, that would be a very big disappointment if it's just a guy roaming the perimeter and not actually developing that dominant interior presence that we've seen some of, you know, the other greats do it. The way that, you know, Dirk figured out how to score, not only with the mid-range, but at all three levels and scoring inside. And that's the potential that we want to believe Lowry has, and it would just be a massive disappointment if that's not what it turns out to
be. I want to say something real quick on Zach LaVine, then we'll get to one more voicemail and then we'll bounce out of here. The Bulls got to make a decision here on how they're playing. Either one, Zach LaVine has to resort to the fact that, hey, you know what, man, this isn't the Rockets. You're not James Harden, and you're not going to take 25, 30 shots a game, and you're not going to play isolation when you go on offense. And I get the biggest strength is you having the ball in your hands and the ability to score and either drive to the basket or knock down a three, but you're not doing it consistent enough, and you're also not picking smart shots to take most of the time. So it's one of two things. The Bulls got to decide, you know what, we're going to change our style and build it towards Zach, and we're going to allow him to go out there and shoot 30 times a game the way similarly the Rockets let James Harden do that. Or Zach's got to say, you know what, I got to change the way that I play and I can't be doing this. But it's funny, I took DVS's call after the win against the Pistons, and he said he summed it up perfectly. He's like, they need to bring somebody in here to punch Zach LaVine straight in the face and say, you know what, dude, you're not James Harden. You're not going to take 35 shots. You need to figure out how to take smart shots, because it seems like no matter what it is, he always, especially late in games, he always decides to pick the most difficult shot in the world. So one of two things, the Bulls got to change the style that they're playing, or Zach LaVine needs to come to terms with, you know what, dude, there's three, four other shooters on this team that can take shots, and you're a great passer when you actually move the ball. But when you don't, things like this happen. He should take a playbook out of watching some early Devin Booker from this year. The Suns are off to a really good start, and I don't know if that's part in Monty Williams and also upgrading some of the spots the Suns did. But that's who I always compared Zach LaVine to, at least last year and the last 2 years. But damn, man, Devin Booker's turned it on a little bit, and I don't know if that's been the compliment in new head coach Monty Williams or not. But Zach LaVine should go watch some Devin Booker tape.
Yeah. How much do you wish that the Bulls had hired Monty Williams instead of extending Jim Boylan?
Yeah, I guess there was something to that, right?
Quite jealous. Yeah, if only the Bulls actually did, what's that thing called?
A coaching search?
Oh, yeah, a coaching search. I know. Such a foreign concept.
That's not a thing here in the city of Chicago.
Look, I get your point. I think it might be a bit exaggerated. It's not like LaVine is like jacking up 35 shots a night. I mean, right. If you compared his usage percentage to Harden's, and even like, you know, last year Harden compared to this year Harden, where he's splitting time with Westbrook, it's not like they're on par. But I do agree that, yes, sometimes down the stretch of these games, we have seen the ISO ball, hero ball, LaVine attempted takeover, and we've seen that go very, very poorly. So, yeah, I still think that LaVine is one of the most talented scorers who can make very difficult shots in this league, and that's why you see it's you ride or die with LaVine and him making shots like the ones he made to salvage the Pistons game after they almost coughed that one up, and it's also how you see the Bulls' offensive breakdowns lead to bad losses where they cough up leads like they have so many times already this season. He's responsible for the wins, and he's responsible for the losses.
You know, just to, and you're right. Yeah, the Rockets example is a little exaggerated. Obviously, he's not James Harden, but, you know, that seems like that would be sort of more of a strength for Zach LaVine to play like that, or he wants to play like that. And the Bulls have kind of talked the other way, that they want to get out and run, but also distribute, and you've got multiple shooters. To that point, though, the shooters got to knock down their fucking shots. Otto Porter, Kobe White, Thomas Satoransky, Chris Dunn, Thaddeus Young. Everybody's got to knock down shots.
Okay. Yes, I agree with that entire list of people who need to do better at knocking down shots, but to expect Chris Dunn to do that is ludicrous.
Chris Dunn. You know what? I love the backstroking everybody is doing too, real quick on Chris Dunn. Oh, all of a sudden, Chris Dunn is a little bit more valuable than people thought, right? Because we're actually seeing some defensive effort from him.
Trying to raise trade value. Cough. It's most of the hype is coming from within the walls of their own building, as they might say. I mean, come on. Yes, Chris Dunn is an above average defender. We have always known this. But guess what? Boylan's still using that 3-point guard lineup with Chris Dunn playing off the ball because Archie's assist to turnover ratio is solid and Kobe White's the young rookie that you want to let, you know, explore and do some experimenting out there with the ball. Chris Dunn has not made a 3-point shot yet this season.
Well, he's not.
What?
That is embarrassing.
He's 0-for-12, if my math is correct. 0-for-12 from behind the 3-point line on the season. If you are an opposing defense, you do not worry about Chris Dunn lurking around the 3-point line anywhere. You let him shoot that all night.
You know, just to end kind of on a positive note here, it has been really, really encouraging to see Wendell Carter Jr. I don't want to say turn the corner yet, but it's exciting to see what he's doing on offense. You know, we haven't talked enough about that. I'm very, very excited, especially if he continues to build confidence. And I think wins will only help that. And it will only help a lot of these guys. But, man, maybe we start to turn our attention towards Carter as far as the second or third option on offense, as opposed to a few of these other guys. You know, Carter seems to be really, really good right now and only building confidence even more.
I think based on what we've seen, Wendell Carter Jr. is trending up while other key names like Lowry and Zach are trending down. And, you know, our buddy Mark Kay, down in Australia, who does the Great Bulls HQ podcast, which, by the way, go listen to his latest episode where C. Red Fred came on and basically just completely gave up on this season. It was glorious and satisfying.
He had a meltdown.
Marquez has been preaching that for a while now, man. Like he firmly believes, and he's not the only one, that Wendell actually is the player on this team with the highest ceiling who should be getting more attention from the coaching staff and putting more of a focus on letting him be a dominant player and not just on the defensive end, but letting Wendell grow offensively. And I am starting to believe that he might be onto something.
61.5% from the field on nearly 10 shots a game. Carter's averaging nearly 15 points a game, too. He's the third leading scorer on this Bulls team right now. Why I was looking at stats, I wanted to look up Chris Dunn's totals really quick. So from 3-point this year, Chris Dunn is 0-for-11 from 3. Oh, my God.
0-for-11. Okay. I said 0-for-12, so I gave him an extra miss. You know why? Probably because it feels like while he's only 0-for-11 in real life, it feels like he's 0-for-22. Because every time I have to see Chris Dunn take a 3-point shot, I lose a year off my life, and I'm like, well, that ain't going in.
The last thing, too, and I just saw this, another glaring weakness of this Bulls team is the bench, and the bench's inability to get to the free throw line. Like, I'm looking at all of them through eight games, and our like core second unit are all in single digit free throw attempts. Thaddeus Young, 4 free throw attempts. Luke Kornet, 4 free throw attempts. Thomas Satoransky, 9. Archie Diakono, 7. Chris Dunn, 6. Shaq Harrison, 6. Nobody has double digit free throw attempts coming off the bench. What does that say to you?
That the second unit doesn't have anybody who can attack the basket that confidently, except maybe, Kobe White, who's a rookie and still won't get that many calls this season.
Yeah, actually, Kobe White is the only one in. I didn't even really consider him a part of that bench unit, but I should. He has 11 free throw attempts, so he's the only one attacking the basket. But
right. Not surprising to me that he leads anyone on the bench in free throw attempts. He should.
It's disappointing. So we're recording this too, by the way, as I say this at the end of the episode, we're recording this a day early. So watch, Matt, like as we record this, Markkanen's going to drop like 35 tonight against the Lakers and do something ridiculous against AD, just as we were talking about his stock going down. Or Zach LaVine's going to go off for 40.
Would love to see that. Would love to see
so, that. So appreciate everybody's voicemails. Obviously, we like to go back and forth on a lot of these, and sometimes we get caught on a certain topic. So we still have all your voicemails stashed, so we will continue to play at those, because you guys are asking us questions that I think go to the broader point of what we're trying to make here, either with, like we were just talking about, Thaddeus Young and the bench units, or Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine's ceiling, or Jim Boylan's coaching. So continue to drop those voicemails. We'll play as many as we can. Maybe finish up the week with a few of those as well. So 331-979-1369. It's going to about do it for us at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail line is again 331-979-1369. Drop us a text or a voicemail as well. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, saying we're out of here. Bulls fans, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.